Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
So yes, we're back for the Dueling Club. So that's the thing that we do.
Yeah, we're coming back and we are going to get back to our regular schedule because life is calming down a smidge.
I mean, we wouldn't go that far, but we found more time.
Yeah, we made time. You make time for the things you want to make time for.
My coffee is stuck to the... Okay, we're fine.
Okay. So, I'm Jen.
I'm Al.
Welcome. We love you. You're amazing.
We give too much love. Earn our love. No, you've got it.
No, they've got it. The Harry Potter community is very loving and very accepting. And freaking awesome.
Anyway, let's not drag on too long. Okay. Social media, you know, the whole like, follow, subscribe, join, share, that whole thing.
Yes.
There's Facebook, Instagram, Spotify.
Well, Facebook is page and group.
Yes. Instagram, Spotify, iTunes.
Podbean. Wherever you're listening to us.
Yeah, basically. Just do your thing. Enjoy yourselves. It's the whole point of this.
Yes. And I like that the group now has discussions happening more often.
Yes.
I really love that. And I love that although there is a difference of opinion, it's not like we're being jerks about it with each other, because that's not okay.
I feel like you and Marianne, shout out by the way, are wrong about Dumbledore.
What?
I'm not going to go into more detail because that's a big spoiler.
Yes.
But love is not a mistake, but you can make mistakes because of love.
Agreed. But the way that it was said was that was a mistake.
No, and it's that trust was a mistake, and the trust was a mistake.
Well, they were also really young.
And
okay,
no,
No, you can make mistakes when you're really young. Okay, what has been going on with you, Al?
Not too much. I exist.
Can we get a little bit more on your existence currently?
I've started writing book two. I've started doing more than just staring at my app, my writing app, and going, what do I do?
Well, you were doing research before. So that's true. I get it. Sometimes you have to, well, not sometimes, all the time, you have to prepare information so that when you start going into it, you know where to go from there.
Yeah, but research can also be a roadblock because you do too much of it, too little of it. Both are very detrimental.
True. Very true. How's girl? Since we mentioned her in the last podcast.
Wonderful. She's gotten me into a lot of new, different things.
Some that you like, some that you don't, or no, most that
I,
you like?
I like it all because I like spending time with her, and it just makes whatever we're doing like a million times better.
Aww.
She's made me watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's interesting. It's not like
hilarious.
My favorite show,
I think it's
but...
hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched, season 10, episode 1.
Yeah.
And if you've seen it, then you know what I'm talking about. It's very meme. Very funny. If you haven't seen it, then you should actually watch it. Literally just because of the elimination that happens in that episode.
Yeah, I like RuPaul in general because I think they are like social advocates for certain things.
Yeah.
And the show was the first of its kind really to be super accepting.
Being an outlet of expressionism.
Yes. Good job.
I use the word.
Yes.
You know, it wouldn't have been really my cup of tea beforehand, but now I'm enjoying it because her and I just talk about it, and it's funny, and it's interesting, and we started watching season 11 together.
Yeah.
That's a thing. So yeah, girl is great, I'm great, coffee's great. Continue.
Yes. That reminds me, I have lasagna to bring for you.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Don't worry, I won't eat it. I'll bring it to you.
I mean, bring it after we're done with this?
Possibly, because I do need to go take a shower and get ready, because
I'm down. I'm down to live a Garfield life. Bring me lasagna and pizza.
It's really, really good. I actually gave a because I put it in different Tupperware, and I gave one to my upstairs neighbor who gave me cookies a few months ago, and I felt bad that I had never reciprocated the neighborly, oh, you give me something, I give you something. So I gave her a little container of lasagna before I came here last night, and when I went back to my house, she had given me a giant container of soup, a piece of carrot cake.
Why is she trying to one-up you?
I don't know.
Okay,
I love that. Like, I made the lasagna as from scratch as you can. Obviously, I bought the noodles, but I didn't buy the no-bake noodles. I did the, you know, and I created the meat sauce and the this and the... I did not shred my own cheese because I think that's a waste of time.
It is. It takes so long and it's messy and annoying. And
yeah, we're not going to go for all that.
It's not worth it.
But I was told it was very yummy and I actually really enjoyed it. So
I mean,
maybe
sure
she ate the lasagna and was like, holy crap, I have to give her all this stuff.
Yeah. You've never made food that I dislike, so.
Oh, yay. We are finally
You know what
done.
Isn't?
What?
What doesn't have lasagna?
What does
Harry
have?
Potter. Let's
Harry
talk about
Potter
that.
Does not have lasagna.
There you go.
Poor Harry. He doesn't understand the deliciousness that is lasagna.
Yeah.
So we are officially done with Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
So go back and listen to all of that. There's a lot of interesting little tidbits of stuff.
Yes, and we tried to be as spoiler-free as possible, and I think we did a great job.
I think we landed that, to be honest.
Yeah, there was one that we ended up editing out. We usually don't edit much out, because
the only edit we actually do is a background noise edit.
Yeah.
To make it sound nicer so you guys don't hear, like,
kind of thing. Or, like, birds in the background, if we can avoid it. Or 4-year-old screaming.
Yeah. Well, my little children, my little feathered pigeons over there are fairly quiet today, so that's glorious.
Yes.
Our nephew's out, so even better.
Yes. So, again, we have only edited out one thing that both of us were like, that is a huge spoiler, we can't say that.
It, like, randomly slipped, and it was like, yeah, we're taking that out.
Yes.
But, so, yeah, we've started, so season 2, episode 1.
I like how you name them seasons.
I mean, why not?
So, true.
It sounds professional.
It does. And we need to consider doing our what ifs soon. And, like, character things. Because I think it's time that we talk about stuff.
But the thing is that it's hard to do a character profile, we'll say, if we haven't finished all of the books.
Yeah, but
because
we can...
the characters are very...
Yeah. So maybe there are characters that we can talk about. You're right. So we're
it's
gonna
just impossible.
Yeah, we're going to have to do
books.
What ifs.
What ifs that are specific to the book? But the thing is like...
Specific to book
the what,
one at
the
this
what,
point.
The what if is amazing because of the consequences it can have later.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd have to be like a what if that starts in this book but then goes further on. But then that also is like, then why won't you do character profiles? So we have to like figure it out.
So
we have to figure out a lot.
What if, for the what ifs, we basically say, hey... These are packed full of spoilers. And if you want to listen to them...
But then we can... That disclaimer can be made for character profiles as well.
True.
So then we'd not necessarily be forced to, because no one's forcing us to do anything.
True.
But we'd almost be, like, kind of obligated in a weird way to want to do them. Because
you know
if we're using
I
a disclaimer
first.
Yeah, McGonagall, of course.
You know me.
But hers would be incomplete. Because of Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yes.
I mean, we can do a what if and her character profile because I have my theory about her.
Okay. So, let's
continue with this
book.
Yes,
let's continue with this book. So, we are on to Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Safety.
I'm going to post that soon.
Yes. It's so
good.
Because
I love it.
We're
I've
there.
Been holding on to it.
We're there.
Yes.
Well, we have to get to a certain chapter where... Yes.
Yes.
So, Chamber Secrets, Chapter 1.
The worst birthday. Poor baby.
He's Harry only Potter. Had one birthday cake and he's 12 years old.
I know. Okay. Let's keep going. So, Harry Potter is back at the Dursleys for the summer break.
He might have had, this might have been the second one last year.
Well, he had. Because
he was a baby. He was one
yes,
and
but
some
he wouldn't have remembered that.
He wouldn't, obviously wouldn't remember it.
Well, he does remember his parents dying, so.
How dare he not remember his first birthday cake?
How dare he?
Stupid green-eyed little munchkin.
Okay, so, like I said, Harry Potter is back at the Dursleys for summer break. And everything seems to be the same, but not really, because it's actually worse for him.
Yeah. The thing is that they're terrified of him, for the most part.
It makes sense that they're terrified, though, because the last time they were around a wizard for any amount of time, Dudley ended up with a tail.
Yeah. So, they locked away all of his possessions, basically. His books, his trunk, we'll say, full of books and all the wizarding stuff
that he needs for school.
Yes. Which is the worst.
Yes. And anything, and they've banned anything that can be linked back to his quote-unquote abnormality.
Yes. Even Hedwig is, like, padlocked into her cage.
I have that written.
Which you see in the movie. You see that she's, like, trying to, like, pick at it, and it's like, no, baby, stop.
Yeah. It's sad. It's like, you're going to hurt your beak.
Yeah.
And I actually have written here, poor Hedwig, she's used to being in the owlery.
That's a hard word.
It is.
I'm not going to lie.
Owlery? Yeah.
Someone help us if we continue.
At Hogwarts, where she can fly around wherever she wants and go out to hunt and then come back.
And animals do feel loneliness.
Yes.
So she what if she made a little friend?
Right. And so she's stuck in this small cage in comparison, because it's big enough for her to move around a little bit, but it's not like spread your wings and have fun. So now we've seen that Harry has received some abuse at the hands of the Dursleys. And now they're kind of being cruel to Hedwig.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it because she's an extension of Harry, or because she's a reminder of the wizarding world to the Dursleys, or both?
It's actually because the Dursleys just hate owls. He even says, like, blasted owl, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, but I don't think so it's loud. Because they hate owls exactly. I think it's they hate what owls represent in their lives now.
Yeah, but then there's the actual, like, physical, like, the owl is there being extremely loud and obnoxious, because obviously you're mistreating the owl because you're locking it away and not letting it be itself.
Yes.
And it's a bird. Birds have wings that fly.
Yes. They like to... Well, not all birds.
Most of them.
Yes.
But it's... So, yeah, it represents something that they do not like, that they actually hate. But that's just an idea versus the actual physicality of this bird being annoying.
Yeah. Well, and we get into that in a little bit in this chapter. So we'll get there.
Yeah.
Harry is forbidden from saying words such as magic in the house.
Well, the actual scene is the whole breakfast thing, asking for more bacon. Yeah.
And well, he asks he asks for the frying pan. He doesn't ask for more bacon. He says, pass the frying pan.
Well, he says, I want more bacon. Yes. There's more in the frying pan, sweetums.
Yes.
Pass the frying pan.
And Harry's like, you forgot the magic word.
And then that sets off a bomb in Dursley's head. Uncle Vernon's head,
rather. Yeah. Dudley gasps and falls from his chair. Petunia screams and then covers her mouth with her hands. And Vernon goes all Vernon on everyone, screaming, veins throbbing. Good times.
Yes.
And I wanted to point out here that Petunia has had a sister who went to Hogwarts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know Lily, her sister, went to Hogwarts. Why does she act like just saying the word magic is going to create magic?
I don't know. She's...
So that's one of those things that I've always thought about her that I'm like... You lived through this. Your sister went to that school and she came back for vacations and you saw her and she never accidentally gave you a tale, like, that we know of. So why would you act like this is so completely off base and that this is so weird and that just saying the word magic is going to make awful things happen?
Yeah, it's just silly.
Yes.
So... The next bit is Harry's worried that he'll fall behind his classmates because he has no interaction with anything wizard whatsoever. His stuff is locked away. He can't keep up with wizarding news, really, because Hedwig is locked up, so he can't really put in a subscription for the Daily Prophet.
He actually says, What did the Dursleys care if Harry lost his place on the House Quidditch team because he hadn't practiced all summer? What was it to the Dursleys if Harry went back to school without any of his homework done?
Yeah, it's messed up.
Yes, I think it's interesting that his first thought is about Quidditch.
Well, it's the one thing that he's good at without having to actually put effort into it.
Right. And I think it says a lot about the Dursleys' character, that them as a family, as a unit, their character, because if they know that these things are important to him and they're locking them away, again, that's just another way to emotionally abuse someone.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing that I was going to say? I had it in my head and it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Well, it's
all good. It'll come back.
So we get to Harry's actual birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And he feels lonely. He hasn't gotten a letter from anyone. He hasn't gotten one from Ron, Hermione, or Hagrid.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to say now that we're talking about that. The reason he hasn't, that we can think of, one of the reasons is that Hedwig is locked up.
Yeah.
So she can't go to them and grab their letters and their presents.
They can send letters, and that's where the big thing is that he feels like they're not really his friends anymore.
Right.
Because it was just a school thing, maybe.
Well, with Hedwig, true. With Hedwig being locked up, he's like, hey, can we just let her out at night? You know, so nobody sees her, so she can just get out. And I'm sure in the back of his head he was thinking, so that I can send my friends letters and be like, yo, WTF.
What the fudge?
Yes. Because again, family friendly.
Also Harry Potter fudge.
Yes. Ah, I love fudge. Anyway, I would love to find a recipe for like Mrs. Weasley's fudge. And I would make it. And we would enjoy it. And then probably have headaches from all the sugar, but I don't care.
Be on the lookout for our Harry Potter cookbook. We're doing it.
Right?
I guess. Are we?
Maybe. We could.
Hey, why not?
We could. Okay. So, yeah.
It's odd that they haven't sent him any letters.
It's very odd that they haven't sent him any letters. And he's more concerned about it than he lets show, because obviously who's he going to talk to about his feelings? He's not going to talk to the Dursleys.
Yeah. The thing is that it's gotten so bad, he feels so lonely, that he hopes the Dursleys remember it's his birthday.
I know.
And the worst part is when, you know, Vernon's like, oh, it's a very important day, and Harry's like, no way, he actually remembers.
Yeah.
And then to be hit with this is the most important day. This could be the most important day of my career.
And Harry's like, ah, yes.
Of course.
Yeah. And I just want to point out that to me, it seems really strange that he hasn't gotten anything from anyone. But in particular, because we've noticed in the first book that, you know, preteens are kind of jerks and they can be really mean to each other. So maybe they just got really wrapped up in their stuff during the summer and that they forgot or whatever. But Hagrid, after him witnessing the things that Harry has gone through at the hands of the Dursleys.
Or not even what they've done, because he doesn't necessarily know, but how they treat him.
Right.
Like the second, if I were Hagrid and I sent Harry a message and didn't get a reply within a couple of days, I'm there.
Right.
Because something is wrong. They're doing something.
And it's like, especially after the way that they spent Harry's 11th birthday, getting all his stuff and Diagon Alley, and him getting Hedwig for Harry as a birthday present. The first birthday present Harry has probably received since his parents
a
died.
A real birthday present.
Yeah. I would think to myself, no, Hagrid would not be inconsiderate. He's way too considerate to not send something. So something has to be up.
Well, and he's also not so oblivious as to not think that something is going on with Harry if he hasn't replied to any kind of letters that he sent him.
Right.
Because Hagrid should know Harry better by then and not go, oh, Harry just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not Harry whatsoever. So I feel like that's actually kind of like a little bit of a plot hole, to be honest. That Hagrid is non-committal and non-like caring.
I think that the way that we can kind of close this pothole, really.
Yes.
This plot hole.
Yes.
It's like a pothole, but in a book.
Yes.
Is that technically he has only been back with the Dursleys for about a month. Because what we know about the school year from later books is that they're still at school at the end of June. And his birthday is July 31st.
Yeah.
So it's possible that Hagrid and everybody is giving him a month to respond. To be like, if we don't hear from him at the end of this month by his birthday or around his birthday, we're going to spring into action.
Well, it took them even longer. It took them... A week after his... You were to say 3 days, right?
4 days, yeah.
But that's still like...
Well, maybe it was... Because we find
out... What can Harry really be busy with at a Muggle household during the summer? Let's be real. He's shown his love and, I don't know, just enjoyment of the magical world. Stop checking your phone. He'll message you when he's going to message you.
Well, because we're supposed to do stuff later. Okay,
well,
I'm sorry.
Well, relax.
You stop it. Back to this. Yeah, yes. No, I don't understand. You're right. I don't understand what he could be so preoccupied with in a Muggle household. But they also don't want to... To me, it feels like they also don't want to dash in every 5 seconds to be like, are you okay? Are you okay? They kind of should.
They kind of should after the fact that he fought Voldemort 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
So they should, you know, be a little like, oh, Harry, how are you? Good.
True.
But no, they're just like, stupid kid, go do your Muggle thing at the Muggle's house.
And
no,
we'll check on you later.
Yeah, we'll check on you after a month and a half. Not eight, really, but, you know.
A month and a few days.
Well, to be fair, well, no, it's a month and a few days. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's still a plot hole to me. I feel like Hagrid would be like, he hasn't replied to me in a week. We're going.
What if he
on
went
Sirius
and talked
Black's
to Dumbledore
motorcycle.
And Dumbledore was, right? Yeah. What if he talked to Dumbledore and Dumbledore was like, give him a little bit of time. He just went through all the stuff. Because that's what that era Dumbledore would do. A couple years from now, Dumbledore is a little bit more hands-on. But I think it's because Dumbledore, his affection for Harry grows over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now he's more headmaster and student than mentor and mentee.
Yes. So we're going back. We've gone on like a really long tangent, Jesus. So
a little bit, but it's related.
It is. So the business deal that is happening is Dursley or Vernon Dursley is trying to make a deal to sell drills to this big businessman, Mr. Mason. Yes. So they go over their roles for the night.
And the schedule.
So it's, you know, Petunia waiting in the... What room is it? It's not the living room, is it?
The parlor?
We'll say the parlor. And then Dudley getting the door for them. And then Harry going upstairs and pretending he's not there. And then...
Yes, in the lounge.
In the lounge. And then
waiting to welcome them graciously to our home.
And then it's, we'll go back. And then it's Petunia suggesting dinner. And then Dudley asking for their coat or something, or
a perfect little gentleman.
Yeah. And then Harry again, upstairs in his room, pretending he doesn't exist. Or that he's not there, sorry. I went with a movie-ism. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It has the same meaning for him to be upstairs and to not... To stand stock still in the room like that.
Can we just talk about the fact that it's his birthday and they're making him pretend he's not there?
That's sad.
Every time I read something that the Dursleys do to him or that Dudley specifically does to him or the way that Aunt Petunia treats him, it makes my heart hurt for him because he's 12 right now. 12. Mm. And he knows better than to expect certain things from them, but he still hopes that they remember it's his birthday that day. He knows not to even expect birthday presents from him, but like they go above and beyond to be mean to him. And I don't understand how any person who can claim to love somebody because they love Dudley could treat another human being, a child
who lives
in their house, that way.
That's the problem. They see him as less than human because he's magical.
Yeah, but that would be like treating somebody differently because they have, you know, a peg leg.
I think that they're very, they're like purists. They're very weird.
Oh, they're so very, they're like the pure blood wizards?
Yikes. Yikes.
Hey, let's draw that parallel.
We haven't really gotten there yet, but yeah.
We haven't, but we've seen Malfoy, Draco Malfoy, be like...
have that attitude, but we haven't really seen it necessarily. So, obviously, we can sort of bring it up because, like I said, it has been sort of mentioned.
Yes.
Very, very briefly. I don't want to go into detail about it.
Right.
But obviously, if you've read the entire series, then you know this. If you haven't, then it's a bit of news to you in a way. Again, you've seen it for Malfoy. But there is this big like divide in rationality for
in the magical
wizard.
World.
Yeah, yeah, where it's, you know, there are people who perceive pureblood wizards, which means that both of your parents are pureblood as well.
Yes.
Or not the parents are pureblood, but they're both magical. Because that is a thing as well that was very cloudy to me, not very explained, is what if both parents are witches and wizards, but one of them is muggle-born?
Well, Harry's their considered child a half-blood because his mom was muggle-born. So he's considered half-blood.
They never explicitly say that he's a half-blood, though.
But they do.
They hint at it, but they don't actually say it. No one has ever called him a half-blood.
So,
because the reason later on, when they say, oh, wouldn't want you to join them, I'm not going to say who, is because, oh, our family is blood traitors. That's another word that's going to be brought up later.
Yes.
And then for Harry, if they would stop trying to do me in, then I would join them. He doesn't say that because he's half-blood or because he's whatever. He's considered a half-blood, but I feel like it's a very hazy kind of thing.
Well, wouldn't he be like three-quarters blood?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think they make that distinction. I think it's just like you're either muggle-born, pure blood on the other side of that, or half-blood. Like, there's no in-between.
I know. It's weird.
And Ron Bilious Weasley is a pure blood. His middle name is Bilious.
I had
to put it out there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ron is a pureblood.
What's Hermione's middle name?
Jean.
Damn it. What's Harry's middle name?
James.
Damn it. I mean, it's so easy, but...
yeah? Okay. But I think...
Dumbledore's full name.
Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore.
Damn it. Good job.
Thank you. Anyway... are we done with Harry Potter quizzes?
Flitwick's middle name.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So, Ronald Bilious Weasley is a pureblood because both of his parents were born wizards and they were born in wizarding families. And, like, you can trace both of their lineages back a few generations. But like you said... they're considered blood traitors, and we're not going to go into that right now, but whatever. Mm. Hermione doesn't have any kind of magical blood in her family except for her. So that's why she's, you know, that's why there's this huge distinction. But we find out later on in this book that although there are some people who are purists and think, you know, pure bloods are the thing. I was going to curse and I didn't.
Mm.
That it really doesn't make a difference.
Of course not.
And I think that there is a really good parallel that needs to be made here between people like the Malfoys, who are purists, pure blood maniacs.
Yes.
And people like the Dursleys, who are so...
hate different things.
Yes. They're so obsessed with being considered normal that they hate anything that's different than them. And I think that maybe that's why Harry dislikes Draco as much as he does, because he's able to see that parallel.
He sort of likens Draco to Dudley in book one, in a sense.
Oh, he does. No, he says, this boy reminded him of Dudley.
Yeah. And that's partially it. It's like the attitude.
Yeah.
If you hear that shake, it's water and ice. So...
Yes. You do realize you've taken, like, almost my entire bottle
of water. You're fine.
That's fine. I'll just grab more later.
Yes.
Anyway, back from our tangent.
Yes. I mean, it's all important. It's all, like... Bigotry is stupid. Let's continue.
Yes.
So they have the back and forth, the roundabout sort of, I'll be doing this, and I'll be upstairs in my room pretending I'm not there.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll be in my room, making no noise, and pretending I'm not there.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And it's three times, I'm pretty sure, which is beautifully written.
Yes.
Love that. So Vernon goes out for the day to go pick up his jacket and...
Dudley's.
Dudleykins. Yes. And then he warns Harry to not get in his aunt's way. So Harry leaves out the back door and does his whole shtick, just chilling, just relaxing, trying to enjoy his birthday.
He sings the saddest happy birthday to himself.
Yes, this is true.
Every time I read that, I kind of tear up a little bit. I'm one of those people who laughs and cries and gasps and all of that when I read. So... this always kind of makes me tear up a little bit, because I would hate to be by myself on my birthday feeling like I have no friends in the entire world.
Yeah. So then Dudley decides to intrude on Harry's lonely banter.
Yes.
Lonely little singing. And tells him, I know what day it is. And Harry's like, well, first Harry looks at a bush and the bush is looking back at him, which is odd.
Because bushes don't usually stare back.
Indeed. And that's when Dudley walks over, and Harry's still focused on the bush, so he's not really taking in what he's saying. And it's like, I know what day it is. What? I know what day it is.
And Harry mocks him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so happy you know that it's a day. Like,
I'm so happy you finally figured that out. Yeah. Sassy Harry for the win.
Yeah. So he says he knows it's Harry's birthday, and why hasn't he gotten any presents or letters from his freaky friends from school? He doesn't say freaky friends, that's more of a Vernon thing from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll include that. Why not? We'll pretend Dudley said that.
He says, today's your birthday. How come you haven't got any cards? Haven't you even got friends at that freak place?
Right. Well, no. Because Vernon does say, oh, I don't want you sending letters to your freaky friends in the movie. In one of the movies, he says, at least, I'm pretty sure. Looking through the book is not going to help you when I mention that it's from the movie. Okay.
No, I know, but I want to see where it is.
It's with the Hedwig thing. Like, oh, if I could just let her out. I don't want you sending a letter to your freaky friends. That thing.
Yes.
Pretty sure. So, yes, it's your birthday, no letters from your friends. Have you gotten any friends? And that's the sore spot that Harry has been feeling all morning, is that he hasn't got any friends because they would have sent him letters at this point. So, Dudley asks him what he's doing, focused so intently on the bush, and Harry replies with, I'm trying to think of the best spell to set it on fire. And, you know, oh, Dad said you can't do magic. And then Harry hits him with some mumbo-jumbo, which scares him half to death. Can I see your copy of the book, please? Can you hand it to me? Okay. One second. She's replying to her boy, and I'm looking up what he says exactly, because I love it. It's funny. Oh, yeah. Jiggery, pokery, hocus pocus, squiggly, wiggly. And then Harry runs off... Dudley runs off scared, saying, Mom, he's doing you-know-what. And then... even though she knows that Harry hasn't done anything, she still tries to hit him with a soapy frying pan and then enlist him to do a million jobs, vowing not to feed him until he's finished.
Yeah, so he ends up cleaning the windows, washing the car, mowing the lawn, trimming the flower beds, pruning and watering the roses, and repainting the garden bench.
while Dudley is watching him and eating ice cream.
I know, and I think that that is ridiculous. I mean, why can't...
So then Harry just continues to think, maybe I don't have any friends at Hogwarts. Wish they could see famous Harry Potter now. And then at around 7 o'clock, so from afternoon, so we'll say noon exactly, for 7 hours around, he's been working nonstop and hasn't been able to eat.
Yeah.
So then Aunt Petunia yells at him and tells him to come inside and to walk on the newspaper so he doesn't dirty the floor. And he's given 2 pieces of stale bread and a chunk of cheese while staring at this beautiful pudding with
whipped the house cream. Smells delicious.
Yeah.
And it's, the pudding.
Yeah, there's a huge mound of whipped cream and sugared violets in this pudding, and then a loin of roast pork sizzling in the oven. And he gets 2 pieces of stale bread and some cheese.
And then he's sent up to his room.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you just worked him to the bone.
Yeah.
And he's 12, and he's doing all these things while he watches another 12-year-old just sit there and eat ice cream.
Yep.
And then you don't even give him a proper meal. You give him 2 slices of bread and a hunk of cheese.
Well, it's a thing that's mentioned in the next chapter that he's expected to survive on a can of soup.
Yeah.
And he even thinks, if I can even survive for 4 more weeks, how am I going to get out and get to Hogwarts or tell people that I'm in dire straits? Like, that's such... How can a 12-year-old question his mortality because of the people that he's supposed to be able to rely on? I hate the Dursleys so much. I can't even explain it. So, on his way up, Harry is, you know, he catches a glimpse of Uncle Vernon and Dudley in their bow ties and dinner jackets.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he reaches, you know, the upstairs landing, he hears the doorbell go off.
Yeah, and he's got to run away already. Yeah,
and then Vernon peers up and is like, you know, remember, one sound and basically I'm gonna abuse you because that's what I do.
Well, and he also says earlier that if he, like for Hedwig, for example, if Harry can't control Hedwig, then Hedwig is going to have to go.
Yep.
So it's like all that Harry gets from the Dursleys is threats and harsh treatments and all of that. And it's like, can you just for once be a decent set of human beings to this poor child?
Absolutely
no.
Not.
Okay, cool.
So Harry tiptoes into his room, slips inside, closes the door, turns around to collapse onto his bed, and there's someone already sitting on it. And that is the end of chapter one.
And that is the end of chapter one. I mean, a lot of stuff happens, and there's somebody on his bed. Who's on his bed?
Well, we're going to find out next chapter.
We are going to find out next chapter. But it's super important that it's like, here he is, he's had a really awful day on his birthday, and he's like, okay, now I have to go to my room and pretend I'm not here.
Might as well try and sleep or rest because I've been working for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And
there's somebody there.
Yeah.
That's a little much.
It's a little spooky. What if it's Voldemort? Ha! No, it's not, but...
I mean, he just fought him, so... I mean, he could do it again if he has to. Yeah. But would he really be able to? He doesn't have his wand.
It's just ethereal back of Quirrell's head. And he just like, ah, and punches it. And he's gone.
Right? I don't know. I think that this chapter, although it's a short chapter when you're reading it, it's got a lot of information in it. Good job, JK. Good job.
Well, the thing is that it has a lot of information if you have already read the series and think of the implications and think a little deeper into it, you know, dig a little deeper and think of the psychology behind it and all that.
Yeah.
Realistically, it's not like super action-packed, super incredible. It's things follow this routine where he goes to the Dursleys and is abused emotionally and
physically, basically physically,
yeah.
Well, and considering that she threw a soapy frying pan at his head.
Well, no, she didn't throw it. She tried to tennis serve the hell out of his head. There you go.
Confirm it.
But yeah, if you dig deeper, then there's a lot. If you don't dig deeper, then it's still a good chapter. And I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's not super informative or anything. It's just Harry's at the Dursleys, is abused, really wants to go back to Hogwarts, has a sad birthday, the usual. So yeah, that's where we're at. So, end of this episode. Technically episode 14, but episode 1 of season 2.
And Aunt Petunia knew he hadn't really done magic, but he still had to duck as she aimed a heavy blow at his head with the soapy frying pan. So, like, swing and a miss?
Yeah.
Or no, fling
no,
and
it's,
a miss?
No, she's not going to throw a pan. She's not going to throw a pan at him. It's literally just trying to swing it at him and miss. Oh, well. Continue to wash it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's the end of this episode. Again, I'm not going to repeat myself too much on this one. Jen likes to do the whole spiel of social media. I don't. I feel like...
Well, we already did it.
Yeah, I know, but the whole... Again, you know, like this, comment on it, that whole thing.
We love you and we just want to hear from you. That's all.
Yep. So that's it. End of episode.
That's all.
Have a good one. Await our next owl.
Yeah! I don't know what that yell is about, but it's there.
Yeah, I hate it. Okay.
All right, I'm done. Bye.